I want to talk to you just a minute about Charles Spurgeon's most faithful friend, Joseph William Harrell. Harrell was one of Spurgeon's students in his pastor's college. You know, Mr. Spurgeon interviewed every student that came to his college. And each of them that came through had to be approved or disapproved by Mr. Spurgeon. As a matter of fact, the last student Spurgeon interviewed was a student by the name of Frank Borum. And Frank Borum, of course, became famous in New Zealand, and his books on life verses are still with us. Borum is the man who took the life verses of famous people and built sermons around them. He was going to preach maybe a week or two, and I think he finally gave what's now in five volumes, but maybe 120-something sermons on it. And it's some of the most interesting reading and biographical reading and illustrated reading that you'll ever do in sermonizing, and you'll use a lot of those illustrations. We have them, what's left of them, because we bought them from Kriegel, and Kriegel reprinted them all and put them in volumes called Life Verses, and we bought all of them because they weren't selling them. People didn't know what a treasure it was. We have them in our bookstore. You might want to get a volume or two. But that was Spurgeon's student. Graham Scroggie was a man who was influenced greatly by Mr. Spurgeon's ministry, and Graham Scroggie's book, The Unfolding Drama of Redemption, is my favorite book. And if I have thousands of books, of course, I had to pick one that I would say this is my favorite book, it'd be Graham Scroggie's book, The Unfolding Drama of Redemption. And we use that in the seminary for Advanced Old and New Testament and in our extension work teaching Advanced and Old and New Testament. But Scroggie took the Bible curriculum that had been taught all the way through Spurgeon's college and for years and years and years. And I think that's basically what we find in that unfolding drama of redemption. If he were here, he'd probably say that's not the case, but that's at least what it appears to be. What I'm trying to say to you is that so many things have spun off the life of one man. One man. He lives and looms larger today than he did in his lifetime. And in his lifetime, he was renowned around the world for what God had done through his life. He pastored that church, the Metropolitan Tabernacle, went there as a young man, stayed until he was 57 years old. He died at age 57, January 31st, 1892. And he had 282 chapels, I believe, or preaching stations. He had Sunday schools with maybe 2,500 children in those Sunday schools. When you hear about attendance, if you hear that Spurgeon's Tabernacle would seat 3,800 with 1,200 extra chairs and they put the 5,000 people in it, when you hear about that, they're not talking about their Sunday school. That's in addition to all of that. They're not talking about the chapels and the preaching stations. That's in addition to all of that. It's just phenomenal. And his work in writing is so voluminous that if you put it side by side, you would have more in print than you find in the Encyclopedia Britannica. There's no human being that we know of that's ever lived that has as much in print as Charles Spurgeon has in print. Now, that brings me to this subject. One of the people, he had personal secretaries, and one of them, which was his most trusted secretary, was a man by the name of Harold. And when that man began to work for Mr. Spurgeon, the work of getting Spurgeon's work out, even after Spurgeon's death, intensified to the point that today we have all of these things still in our hands because of the work of that man and what he did and how God used him. And I want to share just a few things about his life in hopes that you will get hold of this for your own life and that God will use it in your life and you'll want to be a friend. You'll want to encourage someone and you want to help that person. And may God do that in each of our hearts. His name is Joseph William Harrell. And I'm going to give you here just a small excerpt from a book that's now out of print. To my knowledge, I've only come across one copy of the book written on his life. It's a biography written by Harwood Field. And I think it's only about 130-something pages. And there's only one copy I've been able to find, and it's in Spurgeon's College in London, England. But we have here C.H. Spurgeon's Most Faithful Friend. And there's an introductory remarks made here about his faithful friend. As an armor bearer, what is an armor bearer? Let me read just a little of it. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, or ISB, defines an armor bearer as the one carrying the armor, especially the large shield and a variety of weapons. Every king, captain, or champion in the Old Testament times had his armor bearer. All warriors of distinction had such an attendant or servant. David, for a time, was Saul's armor bearer. Gideon's was a man named Purah. And Dr. P.W. Evans, a former principal of Spurgeon's College, wrote a column for the Christian and Evangelical Christian newspaper under the pen name Purah. In his book, The Cross as a Tree, Dr. Evans gives a brief character study of Gideon's armor bearer. And I want you to note this. He was never assertive or pushful. And in a world that values drive, he could not be prominent or famous. Only once is he mentioned in the holy records. Let me read that again. He was never assertive or pushful. In a world that values drive, he could not be prominent or famous. Only once is he mentioned in the holy records. Referring to C.H. Spurgeon having a devoted follower whom he delighted in calling his armor bearer, Dr. Evans emphasizes that Führers or armor bearers are clearly marked out for secondary tasks. And without the gift of initiating, they have the qualities that make for cooperation. Of course, in my day, I believe the greatest armor bearer that I ever knew was Dr. J.R. Faulkner, who was Lee Robertson's armor bearer. Dr. Faulkner recently went to heaven, and his children brought his things, his personal things, up to us, and we're going to be able to display his personal things in our Christian Heritage Center. But if there ever lived an armor bearer in our day for a champion, it was J.R. Faulkner as the armor bearer for Lee Robertson. And so much of what we know and appreciate about Lee Robertson did not come from Lee Robertson as a result of Lee Robertson. It came from publications and things that J.R. Faulkner helped get accomplished for Dr. Lee Robertson. All of us who have the privilege of working on that staff will tell you that the secret behind so much of the greatness of the ministry of Lee Robertson and the Highland Park Baptist Church and Tennessee Temple and the radio station and Camp Joy and the Worldwide Mission Program was the armor bearer, J.R. Faulkner, working tirelessly, without push, without drive, and never pushful, never assertive, in a world that values drive, only just helping the champion get accomplished what God wanted him to accomplish and what we would call maybe those secondary tasks. How well Spurgeon's armor bearer, Joseph William Harrell, fulfilled the scriptural characteristics of an armor bearer as Spurgeon's private secretary. An able minister of the gospel, Harrell could, if need be, occupy the pulpit of the Metropolitan Tabernacle with great acceptance. Now, I'm sure that his might as a preacher was not renowned, but he was trustworthy. And they knew that when he was filling the pulpit, which he did on Spurgeon's behalf, he was completely trustworthy. And if you've been in the ministry long, you know how valuable that is. What a tragedy it was, and this writer says that Harrell was not given more prominence after the death of Spurgeon. But if you notice the next paragraph there on page 120, he also cooperated with Mrs. Spurgeon in producing the four-volume autobiography compiled for Spurgeon's diary, letters from his diary and letters and records. Now, I have a copy of that. This is the four volume of Spurgeon's autobiography. And I would recommend if you can find an old set like this that you get them. And here is a picture. I have a photograph, of course, of Harrell. But this is in volume four. And there's a picture of Spurgeon in his study and Harrell there. Now, there's also a featured picture of William Joseph Harrell, which we'll have in the next Baptist Vision. because we wrote an article about J.R. Faulkner and included all of that armor bearer message from Harold with Dr. Faulkner's word about his death and passing and his help with Dr. Robertson. But if you look at all of this, how would we have this? We would not have had this. We would not have Spurgeon's autobiography had not Joseph William Harrell worked with Mrs. Spurgeon to finish that. He worked tirelessly doing it. Sometimes they say he wrote as many as 500 letters a week for Mr. Spurgeon. Think about that. I want you to look on page 121 because throughout the volumes there's no desire to bask in the Prince of Preachers' reflected glory. The one prominent tribute C.H. Spurgeon gave is a fun poem, and I've included this fun poem here for you. It says, "Poor old Spurgeon must urge on. Not so Joseph Harrell. Before the sun, he's up like fun, ere the lark has caroled." Now, there's a whole lot involved in that little poem because Harrell was a guy that could always be counted on. That's what they called him, Harrell. And always there to help Spurgeon. I'm going to ask you to read this stuff for yourself, but one of the things you're going to discover is that when you have a man prominent and visible, everybody wants to get to him. With as little prominence and visibility as I have, and it's very little, very little. But with that, if I'm in a public meeting, I can hardly go anywhere. For instance, if I go to a conference like the Soul of the Lord, I wait until everybody else is finished, and when nobody's there, I'll go through the displays. Now, I'm a nobody, but I can't walk 2 feet without somebody wanting to ask me questions or give answers to something, and I enjoy doing that, but there's no sense in me trying to see what's displayed down there because I'd never get it done. I would be there for hours just taking 2 or 3 steps and people talking about things, and that's fine. But one of the things that Harrell was able to accomplish was he was able to help Mr. Spurgeon with all the people who wanted to get to him and able to keep people from absolutely taking Spurgeon's life from him. And I'm sure there were people who were jealous of him. There were people who were annoyed with him. But those closest to Charles Spurgeon, including his church, his elders, his deacons in his church, knew the value that Harold was to Mr. Spurgeon. They met in an unusual way. You maybe remember me telling the story. Spurgeon was giving a presidential address, and the person who was the stenographer was not there, who was to stenographically record Spurgeon's work. And that day, as he gave the address, and when they asked at the end of the session if it had been recorded properly, the man never had showed up. Someone said that Harold is here and he follows Mr. Spurgeon to all his meetings and that he had more than likely taken down the entire message. And when they found him and got Mr. Spurgeon with Mr. Harold, sure enough, he had not missed a single word. Harold had a call in his life to go to India as a missionary. And I've included here a letter that Spurgeon wrote him. I think it's pretty interesting that Spurgeon wrote him about his call to the mission field and whether he was to go to the mission field and become a missionary in India or he was to aid Mr. Spurgeon. Now, the reason I call your attention to that is because at this moment, in hindsight, we may have said, well, I guess Mr. Harold missed it. He just missed it. But at page 130, let me read it. This naturally increased the interest Mr. Spurgeon already felt in Mr. Harrell. The bond between them was growing closer. Then came the missionary call from India for Mr. Harrell, and he wrote to Mr. Spurgeon for advice as to whether it should be accepted. His appeal to Mr. Spurgeon for counsel brought the following letter in reply, and it altered life for Mr. Harrell. "Dear Mr. Harrell, very selfishly I rebel against your going away, for I have wanted you for myself. But still, I must not let that intrude." Now, there's a lot there. He's saying, I want you to do God's will, but I want you to know what I want. I think this is exemplary. I mean by that, the man is stating what he really feels in his heart, but he's still giving room for God to guide this man's life if he insists. It is the judgment of all my friends that I need a shorthand clerk for answering letters, and one friend has been so good, been good enough to assist me in meeting the expense. This clerk would be able to report college lectures, and perhaps I might be able to do something with him in the study. But I don't think there would be enough for him to do. If you were the man, you could preach on Sunday and also help me in Bible classes and visitation. At first, you could help my son at his little chapel here. And of course, Spurgeon had twin sons. And the people could afford some little remuneration. Your work would be to help me as much as ever you could in all ways. And in all, I think it would not be an unpleasant sphere for you. And to me, it must be a great relief. Yours heartily, C.H. Spurgeon. Now, Mr. Harrell was married. I think he had four children. And what was he to do? He devoted his life to Charles Spurgeon. Literally. It soon got to the place where, of course, he didn't go to India. You said, well, maybe he should have gone to India. We probably wouldn't be talking about Charles Spurgeon today. God used him to extend Mr. Spurgeon's ministry. Dr. Robertson had people like that around him. J.R. Faulkner, one of them. Mrs. Shadowin was another. Before Mrs. Shadowin, Luzelle Ware was Dr. Robertson's secretary for many years. She was a woman who never married and died of cancer. Mrs. Shadowin was Dr. Robertson's secretary for 25 or 30 years. She extended his life. She was a faithful friend. And she loved him and was devoted to him. She was married to an evangelist, Joe Shadowin, a very fine man, great guy. And when Joseph Harrell took the responsibility to be Mr. Spurgeon's personal assistant, he was there in Mr. Spurgeon's study, for example. Susie had helped her husband as much as possible in this, but when she became so incapacitated, she couldn't do it. Harold would go into Mr. Spurgeon's study, and who do you want in a private, secret place like that with you? It has to be someone who's a friend, who's compassionate, right? One in whom you can place confidence and you enjoy his companionship. And he would get the books that Mr. Spurgeon wanted, pull them all from his library. Spurgeon had a 12,000-volume library. And he had a long rectangular table. And he would open the books to where Mr. Spurgeon would want to read, and he would lay them all around the table. And then Mr. Spurgeon would get his chair and go from place to place to place to read all the things he wanted to read and make what notes he wanted to make. And then when he was finished, Mr. Harrell would reshelve the books. At the same time, Harrell was writing letters, as I said earlier, maybe as many as 500 letters a week, we're told. Because all these concerns, there were 500 children in an orphanage. There were all kinds of ministries. There were scores and scores of ministries that met in the tabernacle. Sometimes from 7 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock at night. They even had things like the Christian Butchers Association that had their meetings there. I mean, he was engaged in people's lives in every way. Spurgeon had a flower garden, and he had a ministry to shut-ins with the flowers that were grown in his own garden. It was a fascinating thing, the way God used this man. And the man who was there to assist him in all of it was Joseph William Harrell. And not just Mr. Harrell. There were other secretaries and helpers, as you will read about as you study Spurgeon's life. But none in those days, to the time of his death, as prominent as Harrell. When Mr. Spurgeon died, Joseph Harrell was with him in Mentone, France, when he died. And the deacons wrote Mr. Harrell. Mr. Harrell was the man who telegrammed the deacons at the church and told them that Spurgeon had died. And they responded back to Harrell and said, of all Of all Mr. Spurgeon's faithful, or our pastor's faithful friends, you are the most faithful of all. And we have that note from the deacons here. I'm just saying, we're talking about friendship, and I'm trying to tell you what a difference, what an amazing difference, what a tremendous difference, what a dynamic difference, what a powerful difference a friend can make in a man's life. What a powerful difference. And you can make such a difference in a man's life. You can make such a difference in someone's life in your church by being a friend. And may God help you to understand that. May God help all of us to understand that. And I'm so thankful that men have lived and served this way and provided the kind of examples that we all need in the matter of friendship. And let's be that kind of friend. I want you to take the last few minutes that we have in here in this session, and I want you just to look through the information I've given you, the dates, the times, and I want you to get more acquainted with Joseph Harrell, because we're going to try to reprint his book as an example of a faithful friend. Let's pray, may we?